Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners, the Fireside Chats. Yes, I am former president. Who was it? Rosa? Well, which one was it?
I have no idea. I never knew a president did fireside chats.
What? This is famous.
But we have been fireside chatting lately on the podcast since we have a giant fireplace and it's cold in our house.
Yeah. Oh, and our house almost... Sorry, we're really getting off to a good start. We're my favorite murdering it, and they are my favorite people ever, by the way, so this is not an insult. But they always have this comment at the top where they're like, skippers! Like, people like to skip their funny banter at the beginning.
Oh.
Or just their, like, life updates or whatever. I think they're fucking hilarious.
If people skip our funny banter, I mean, what else is there?
Stories. But it just reminds me of that. They're way funnier than us, I'm pretty sure. But
well, we're getting funnier, so
yeah,
watch out. We're hot on your heels.
Yeah.
MFM.
But that reminds me of that where it's just like they literally start the podcast and then just like go off on all these tangents and they're like, we're really good at podcasting after 10 years. They like make fun of themselves.
I mean,
they're like, this is the quality content you can expect.
That is podcasting. If you're staying on topic, it's not really a podcast. I feel like it's more like a book on tape.
Yeah, yeah. Like Rainbow Reading Room or whatever that was called.
Rainbow Reading Room.
What was it called?
Reading Rainbow.
Same thing. What's the fucking difference?
I love that. Getting a Reading Rainbow Friday in elementary school was like
cool.
Sweet. No lesson plan.
Was that guy in a sitcom like Saved by the Bell or no?
I think he just looked like a lot of guys that were in sitcoms.
Okay. Anyways, I was about ready to say FDR, but I didn't want to be wrong. Fireside Chats was President Franklin Delano, I think is how you say it.
Yeah, Franklin Roosevelt. D. Roosevelt.
And by the way, it did not say Delano, it just said D, but I remembered that that's...
Wow.
To know his middle name is incredible.
You could be a high school... social studies teacher.
I'm looking for jobs all around the place. But so it was okay. I'm just gonna give you, this is not what this podcast is about, but since you didn't know what the Fireside Chats were, it was a series of 31 intimate evening radio addresses delivered by FDR between 1933 and 1944, designed to calm national anxiety during the Great Depression and World War II. I didn't know that's what it was about. I thought it was more just like he was just chatting with his people because I think he was the one that was wheelchair bound. Anyways, they allowed him to explain the complex policies like the Emergency Banking Act and New Deal initiatives directly to citizens in a conversational, comforting manner. Hence, FDR started podcasting.
Wow.
We went full circle.
The original podcaster is FDR.
Yeah.
One of my favorite presidents.
I didn't even mean to come up with that, but that came full circle.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a president who deserved a podcast.
Yeah.
We currently have a president.
Who does not deserve a platform,
who doesn't,
but
yes.
We're not political.
Boop. This is not a political podcast.
Yes, although I have a political science degree, don't watch the news, don't remember
you got that degree to hang out with the football players.
No, I got that degree to get through college quickly so I could go to LA and be a star.
Which worked.
Sure.
Because you're a star.
Oh, thank you. I love you. All right. But this also does kind of correlate with this story today because the man we're going to discuss, and this is going to be a classic Seven Deadly Sinners.
Ooh.
Yes. It involves a cult. And the man today, so he idolized, you know, the likes, you know, the classics, Saddam Hussein, Joseph Stalin, Greg Hunter, you know, strong.
Okay now.
Authoritative man.
I might be authoritative, but I'm not a dictator. I'm a spectator.
You handled that well.
To this podcast.
You handled that well. I wrote that. So
that's okay.
Up here. I voice noted it into my phone. The list goes on, though. You got Saddam Hussein, Joseph Stalin, Greg Hunter. But there's more. No, but what he idolized was strong, authoritative men. and probably authoritative women like Rachel O'Brien Hunter. But he was your classic cult leader. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
Cult leaders like him, they're people we've covered many times. They are so good at just exhausting you that you sort of succumb. You're like jello. You're like, okay, whatever you say.
Yeah, whatever will make you shut up.
That's how I feel about these types. When you hear like these stories or you like listen to a news clip, and we're going to play one of him fairly
being
soon.
Being sold a timeshare. He's like, fine,
you're just
go
like,
oh,
God, just take the money. God, shut up. Like, it is sort of like your brain just goes to mush and you're just like, I will do anything. Like, or if I just pretend to play dead and curl up in the fetal position, will you stop talking at me?
Just you wear know? Him down.
Yeah. But so, as we have on this podcast, gone down a rabbit hole of cults, you know, there's always when a moment when a person stops just being a person, it becomes something else. So it's not just like me and you talking. I'm telling you my ideals. I'm telling you ideas. We're chatting, you know. It's when they become a prophet, a messiah, or in this case, the keeper of a machine.
Ooh.
And that machine was called Jackie.
Interesting.
J-A-C-K-I-E.
Okay. Spelled normally.
Yeah.
All right. That's how I'd spell Jackie.
Jackie Kennedy?
Jackie Robinson.
I was trying to think of another one.
Yeah, I don't know any other Jackies.
Jackie Smith. There's got to be about 1,000 of those. And I just threw that out there.
Yeah. This is good. I don't know what's going to come next, but it feels like it's got kind of like AI vibes.
I don't know.
So I'm into it.
So according to the believers, Jackie wasn't just a metaphor. It was an all-seeing force capable of reading thoughts, punishing betrayal, and even triggering disasters from afar.
And this is a machine that he keeps like in a secret closet?
No. Wait for it.
Okay.
Remember I wanted to do that storm cult a couple days ago, and then I was like, there's not enough information on it. There's a little bit of a storm cult thing in this too. So,
okay.
Yeah, this story does sound like science fiction.
You can control
like you said,
the
like it sounds like AI.
Yeah.
Okay. It does sound like that. But the story behind it is very real and it is very dark. So before there was the Church of Jackie cult, before the whispered stories of mind control and invisible satellite warfare, there was a boy. We were all young kids once. And his name was Aravindan Balakrishnan.
That was good. That's a tough name to say.
I rolled my tongue a little and I didn't
yeah,
know
it sounded,
I knew how to do that.
I'm
Aravindan
surprised you did.
Balakrishnan.
It suddenly sounded like, oh, you spent some time in India.
Kind of isn't rolling your tongue Spanish, but whatever. We're going to call him Ari for the rest of this episode unless I feel like, you know, pulling out. Aravindan Balakrishnan.
Was he Indian?
Just wait.
Okay.
And like many cult leaders, his story didn't start with power. It started with belief. Balakrishnan grew up in Kerala, India.
Aha.
Answered your question.
Well, it's pretty obvious.
Okay, patience is a virtue. Balakrishnan would want you to know that.
Balakrishnan, I mean, it's like, what other country could that be?
Well,
Azerbaijan.
Why'd you have to ask? Where the family members reportedly believed he possessed strange abilities, even giving him a nickname implying supernatural power. Now, that might sound like a small detail, Greg. But if you've studied cult psychology, you'll recognize it instantly. The mythology begins early, because when a child grows up, hearing that he is special, that he's unique, that he's chosen, powerful, kind of how my parents raised me, it can shape how he sees the world.
Exactly.
And more importantly, how he or she expects the world to see them. So this is the making of Comrade Bala. In the early 1960s, Balakrishnan traveled to London after receiving a scholarship to study at the London School of Economics. That's right. The future cult leader wasn't an uneducated fringe figure, and he followed the cult leader kind of handbook, or the televangelist handbook. It's money, money, money. How do you get people's money? Surprised he didn't, like, minor in psychology. But
yeah, economics is a good place to start.
Yeah.
And going to a good school, making people think you're a brainiac.
Yeah. It's a good place. Yeah, exactly. Then you have, like, credentials like, hey, I have a degree.
I know what I'm talking about.
But I'm also a messiah. I don't know why messiah goes to college, but it's very confusing. Jesus and Dalai Lama, and, you know, they were learned. They went to school.
Yeah, you know.
So it's the 1960s, all right? It's a very turbulent time. Everyone's ideological, political. It's a frantic time.
Trying out acid.
Sure. Absolutely. Probably more than trying it
out.
Yep, exactly. Protesting in the streets.
Listening to Buffalo Springfield.
There you go. So there was revolution, radical politics, active, terrible racism. Shame on us. And Balakrishnan immersed himself in it. Because, you know, the best way to probably, like, rile things up and get people on your side is to get in the middle of it. Like, play on people's sympathies. And I bet you will guess that he knew how to exactly do that. That's what Jim Jones did, too.
Yep.
So,
cult leader playbook.
There is, truly, after doing this podcast for, what, 4 years, 5 years? How long have we been doing it? Six? Oh, my God, we started in 2020. We've been doing this for 6 years?
Yeah, I guess so. It'll be like, yeah, no, I mean,
probably 5.5, because we started in, like, May or something.
I think it was, like, April.
We've been doing this for 6 years. Thank you guys so much for listening. I shall see myself out. That's a joke, but I appreciate you guys being here for 6 years if you have been.
We've learned a lot in 6 years about how to be a cult leader, start a cult, and right now would be a great time to do it, you know, with how.
But we would never do that because we're good people.
Divisive.
But it is crazy how much of a playbook it is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if we wanted to do that, and I'm sure all you listeners, if you wanted to start a cult, and if you've listened from the beginning, you have the playbook.
Yeah.
You just have to be a shitty person.
Maybe we should write the playbook. But
there's,
like,
already ones written.
In defense, you know, like the
Rick Ross already did it.
The Rick Ross?
Yes, it's not that Rick Ross.
Oh,
he's
okay.
He's a cult.
I was thinking like the
he's a cult deprogrammer.
No.
You just said on the side.
Yeah.
I know, it is confusing. No, he's a cult deprogrammer and, like, you know, expert on it. We digress. But please don't start a cult. We're better than that.
Deprogram one instead.
Yeah. They basically have to kidnap
people. I like that term, deprogram. It's like you got to unplug.
Yeah, well, because they get so psychologically manipulated, they're plugged in to whatever this leader says, and they can't get out. But I digress. This future cult leader was intelligent. He was political and deeply ideological. So, like I said, he immersed himself in whatever chaos was going on at that time. Eventually, he joined the communist movement in Britain. But something happened that would define the rest of his life. He was expelled, and people don't like having their feelings hurt. I'm the same way. I'd probably want to be like, hey, look at me now, dog, if that happened to me. Okay.
For sure, you know, vengeance becomes a really potent
like a
motivator.
Accelerant.
Yeah.
But he wasn't expelled because he wasn't committed enough, but because he was too extreme. He was too much.
Okay.
And maybe he was, but
He was getting too
I'm
good
just trying to be relatable to him right now.
He's getting 101 on his essays.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he was just like too much. And I can relate to that because now that we live in a small town, I think I am too much for every single person I meet. And they don't want me around, probably. But party on. See if I care. I'm in on the joke. Anyways, he was accused of being conspiratorial and splitting the movement apart. For many people, that might have been the end of the story. But for a future cult leader, as we know, it was just the beginning. Because if the system won't accept you, you create your own system.
It's a good hack.
Signed, Rachel O'Brien. What?
It's a good hack.
Yeah, it is. Well, isn't it that, what is that thing that you've said before? Like, people who can't, people teach who can't.
Oh, those who can't do teach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you don't like me? I'll show you me.
That's more like, you know, you got a lot of people on the internet being like, buy my course and I'll teach you how to be a superstar. It's like, well
then
why aren't you a superstar? you know? The amount of videos that I see that are like, do you want to be a millionaire? I'm like,
sure, who doesn't? Next.
Next.
Anyways, so Balakrishnan, so this is how the birth of the church began. So he's mad. He's like, you guys didn't want me. I'm a star. Let me show you what a star I am. And if there was social media at this time,
I'll start my own school.
Yeah. Beat it, nerds. So Balakrishnan gathered followers and created his own organization, a radical group called the Workers Institute of Marxism, Leninism, Mao Zedong thought. That's now try to say that out loud, Greg. Workers Institute of Marxism, Leninism, Mao Zedong thought.
That's just bad marketing. The Workers Institute of Marxism, Leninism. Is that like John Lennon? Lennon? Mao Zedong thought. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's not even like WIMLMZT. It doesn't even have a good acronym, you know?
A PR person.
Yeah.
All right, sorry, guys. Now say it all together. I won't say it again. So, yes, that was the full name. Very catchy. Easy, it rolls off the tongue.
Makes me want to join.
Yeah, rolls right off the tongue. It's might as well be... Ba-da-ba-ba.
This will be the YMCA over here.
What is the rest of the thing of McDonald's? Ba-da-ba-ba.
Oh, my goodness.
What is it?
I think that is personally one of the worst slogans.
Well, I don't know.
Slogans.
I'm just trying to think of something short.
I mean, it is. It's I'm loving it. Or
ba-da-ba-ba. I'm loving it.
I mean.
Not Marxism, Leninism, Mao Zedong thought. That makes me want to throw myself.
It's also like McDonald's. You can't just steal ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Okay.
You can't have na-na-na-nas.
Seems like you're going on a little bit of a tangent. You love McDonald's, so let's relax.
I do love McDonald's, but I'm falling out of love, honestly. Okay.
You know what?
If they raise the price one more time.
I'm going to do a citizen's arrest on you.
There's not a dollar menu anymore.
Okay. Anywho, speaking of catchy. All right. So inside this group... He had a simpler name, though. So it wasn't Marxism, Leninism, Mao Zedong.
Once you join, you get the simple name.
Yeah. Well, slightly more simple. Comrade Bala.
Okay. He realized he needed to shorten his name. At least that was smart.
Yeah, I guess his original name was actually more confusing than this. But
Aardvark Balagans. What? Balakrishnan, yes.
So soon this... became not just a political organization. It became something else entirely. A very closed world. A world where followers believed Balakrishnan, or comrade, could control nature itself. Storms. Disasters. Even global events. And at the center of it all was something called Jackie. So, Greg, you ask me, what was Jackie? I know you're curious.
I am extremely curious. I think this is one of the coolest potential cult ideas from what I'm imagining.
I don't like that you're on his side.
I didn't say I'm on his side. I'm thinking like major motion picture. It's very haunting. Like, oh, he's got this machine that he's named Jackie.
Now I have a question, because you just said machine again, because I was about ready to read my notes, and I was like, did I mention machine before? Or because I was going to say, like, you were pretty on point when we paused for a second and you said something about machine.
Yeah, you said that earlier.
Oh, I did? Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you were just a psychic. I don't know. I thought you were Jackie.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I am psychic. Maybe you didn't. I thought you said she was a machine, or it
maybe. All
is
right,
a
maybe.
Machine.
All right, well, we'll find out. So what was Jackie? Jackie was described as a mythical machine or a supernatural system that monitored people's thoughts and could punish them if they disobeyed the leader. Maybe one of the creepier tactics I've heard about in cults.
Yeah, I'm into it. It's creepy. It's scary. It's also like ahead of its time. This is the 60s. It's like we didn't really have computers yet. You know, we didn't have Siri and Alexa, but it's like, you know, very AI.
It's that very Mark Wahlberg, Scarlett Johansson movie where he talks to a bear.
What?
Wasn't that a movie? I never saw it.
I think you're like mixing
two movies.
Okay.
Anywho, so let's move on with the script.
You just mixed like Ted and what is it?
Whatever. The last movie I remember seeing is When Fievel Goes West, so leave me alone.
Oh, my goodness. All right. You're thinking of her and Ted mixed into one. You're okay, getting Joaquin Phoenix. And
okay, whatever. Fievel Goes West. So Jackie is an acronym that stands for Jehovah, Allah, Christ, Krishna, and Immortal Iswaran.
Wow. He's really not too good with the names. Although this is a much better acronym.
Here's the thing. If I was in third grade and, you know, we're getting pretty high up in learning how to read, and I was supposed to read aloud to the class, which would be already anxiety producing, and someone handed me this, I would have to be taken off. I would have to be taken off the send me to a child's
camp. Send me
to
the principal's office.
Just like
nope. I'm gonna go ahead.
Like,
take
think about
the
how
demerit.
Nerve-wracking it was. I mean, granted, when I did book reports with Sabrina, we treated it like it was our world stage. But like, just reading aloud is so nerve-wracking.
I think this would make a great A24 movie. It's like, okay, we've got all of
call
the
Brad up. He's Plan B. Sorry,
lords. All of the gods of all the major religions, we captured them all in this box.
Yeah, but it's also kind of like a bad, like when I was going to go to Arby's for the first time recently, I Googled the menu online and like what the best options were. And a lot of complaints were they're trying to do too much. There's a fish sandwich. There's their classic Arby's. There's a chicken parm. There's a meatball sandwich. It's like, let's narrow it down. It's like a Mexican and Asian buffet place. It's like, I don't know, sorry, which one to trust.
I can't believe you just made a metaphor for all of the world's religions being in one computer and comparing that to Arby's menu. But great, you pulled it together. You pulled it off, and I'm with you. I'm with you.
Like, I don't want to open a menu and be like, we have Italian subs, sushi, orange chicken,
I just
enchiladas.
Love,
I'm like, my stomach, I already feel like I have food poisoning.
You're going to get religion poisoning with Jackie.
Well, this is how I'm going to become a cult leader. Listen, so, kids, focus on 1 to 3 things maximum. Don't try to spread yourself too thin. You can do anything you want, but just hone it in a tad.
So I really hope that he actually had a machine that he would, you know, keep in a closet, you know, veiled under a sheet that he would just, you know, show a few people and it'd have like random lights and buttons and beeps and boops. Please tell me that there is a machine that
we'll
he made out of
listening.
Like
we'll
old
find
vacuum
out.
Parts.
Just Just wait.
This is Jackie.
Okay. So
I manifested the spirits. So listen, of all...
Greg. Tell I love me. You. So we can all acknowledge that he chose every major spiritual authority and rolled them all into one
machine. It, even that's what's beautiful
like
about this is
it's
that
bologna. I have food reference: sausage, bologna, spam.
It's a giant sausage of religions, but it's a machine. That's what I think is really cool. Like, but he's,
you so, don't know yet. Can you stop?
No, you already. I mean, does he have to plug it in? Is it battery powered? Oh, it's a steam engine. It's steam, isn't it?
I don't know. So, Balakrishnan claimed the machine could, number one, read minds. Number two, control the weather. Number three, trigger disasters. Number four, destroy enemies. Number five, and punish disloyal followers. The machine was all-knowing. And you just raised your hand. What would you like to say, sir?
I mean, if it was a machine that contained Allah, Buddha, Christ.
It wasn't Buddha. It was Jehovah, Allah, Christ, Krishna.
Oh, yeah. There's no B in
and
there.
And immortal Ishwaran, which well, I've never heard of that before.
Wouldn't it be able to do even more than that then?
Okay.
I think it, Jackie needs more capabilities. Mr.
Like Mary
Balakrishnan.
So he did the typical kind of cult playbook like we talked about. And I don't know that I ever realized this before, but cults actually do sort of mix three belief systems: religion, technology, and fear. Not all of them do. Like a lot of them are like religion, sex, and fear, you know, whatever. But like, you know, like Heaven's Gate was kind of technology-ish based, and we should cover them soon. This is like, there's been...
Have we not done Heaven's Gate?
We've talked about it about 1,000 times and not done it. Because it sort of involved Oregon at a certain point, and so I really wanted to do it well, so I haven't fully gotten into it. Same thing with Rajneeshi or whatever. That happened in Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
And I really...
You've got a real close connection
like,
to
I want to, like, because my parents live near there now. Like, I want to actually interview people from
the
there.
The Rajneeshis.
Yeah, so I'm waiting on that. Like, yeah. I'm putting them in my back pocket.
Okay.
Anywho. So, religion, technology, and fear. So it kind of makes the supernatural feel plausible. And also think about like when they use like, you know, astrology or the stars or whatever. Sometimes from even my own mind, I'm like, the universe is so vast. It's so hard to comprehend. Just tell me what I'm looking at and I'll believe you.
Okay.
Yeah. So makes the supernatural feel plausible because if a satellite can track you, why couldn't Jackie? This is also getting
because
close to
Jackie
the Cold War.
Is some
she's
random
very messed up
parts mixed up. That he found at Goodwill and duct taped together in his closet.
Yeah,
I really.
It is hilarious
hope.
Though that it like spells out to a popular name of the time.
Oh, it's awesome! I think
Jackie.
He might have gone with like the black monolithic
Jackie.
Like box. You know, that would have been a better if Jackie was basically just like. If he just made it a black, all black cereal box with some lights up on the top of it, it'd probably be a better scam than if he made it all, you know, like a steam engine, like a steampunk, you know, overly complicated Rube Goldberg machine with all these dials and levers and stuff. It'd probably be less believable, but I really want to know if he actually made a physical Jackie.
The group operated primarily out of South London, particularly around Brixton. From the outside, it looked ordinary. Just a flat, just a house, just a neighbors living their lives. But inside, it was a completely different universe. Followers lived under strict control. They were isolated from the outside world. And over time, Balakrishnan convinced them that leaving was impossible because Jackie would destroy them if they tried. Greg, imagine believing that.
It's really a mind fuck because, like, you know, it's hard to believe that a human might have these supernatural abilities.
Mm-hmm.
But in the late 60s, I think technology was starting to, you know, speed up, right? And you didn't really understand it, and there's all these new things.
And it was like
things.
The beginning of the Cold War, sort of, like...
Yeah, like the Jetsons, like, are a cartoon. It's like...
Yeah,
the Cold War, exactly. Like, technology's scary. It's new, and it's scary, mm-hmm. and you don't totally understand it. And it would be a lot easier, I think, to believe...
Like, oh, shit, like, I don't know. Do you know
that,
something
yeah.
I don't know?
They know, like, that Jackie is this machine that is the all-seeing eye, that does have an omniscient point of view.
Well, and that's what makes this cult leader, like, pretty crafty and smart and creepy.
I know. It
it's
is
like,
clever.
Into people's
I'm
fears.
I'm actually surprised, truthfully, because all the cult leader playbook usually says, tell your followers you have all of these powers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's like, you are God. You can change the weather and you're all-knowing, right? But mm-hmm.
Oh, there's something in the sky that's looking at us
yeah.
right now. But how did he parlay that into, like how is he the only one that knows that? Like,
well,
he was chosen?
It's just like, you know, it's like, I've got this crystal ball that is all-knowing. It's a really smart move. I mean, I don't like the guy, but in the realm of the cult...
Yeah, just breaking it down, it's pretty smart.
In the realm of the cult leader playbook, this is pretty crafty. This is like a Bill Parcells, a Bill Belichick level of... cult leader playbook, play calling. Bobby Knight. Just okay. had to throw another great coach in there.
Sorry.
Mike Krzyzewski.
Okay, we're done now.
Rick Carlisle, anybody? Eh?
God. Had to take a commercial laugh break because... Greg, you can see yourself out.
Because your husband's funny.
No one knows who half those names are. T.J. McConnell?
There's definitely a few husbands in the driver's seat right now being forced to listen to this podcast that knew all those names.
They're just like, high five, Greg.
They're like, Bill Parcells? What a throwback.
woo! Okay, we're going on. So, again... Yeah, like someone standing in front of you, like a Jim Jones who's wearing glasses all the time and you realize he's like methed out and on drugs. Or like Rajneeshi who took a vow of silence but was really just on Valium.
Yeah,
yeah, like
great.
Okay.
Like, but those, it's easy to be like, okay, old Jimmy.
Yeah, like, okay, buddy.
I don't know if...
Hey, Jimmy, you're actively getting more bloated and incoherent.
I don't think you can actually see through walls.
Yeah.
I don't think you're controlling the weather, but this mysterious machine, that's
it's
intimidating.
It's actually kind of smart.
It's
yeah.
actually so smart. Like, I'm like, there needs to be a movie about this guy.
Well, you're a director. You should make one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Moving on. So, yeah, it's basically like having this invisible force that could strike you down at any moment you stepped outside. They're watching you all the time. And that was when, like, there was early sightings, like the 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever. Well, also, the Native Americans also, thousands of years ago, said they saw things in the sky. Like, but this was really hyped up around this time. So, like, thinking about this machine, it can watch you, like, what's happening here?
Roswell was still in recent memory. It's like, yeah, it's a UFO. Powered.
This guy might be a genius, actually. But it created a psychological prison for these cult members. Because
yeah.
that I might actually fall for that. Because, I mean, I've fallen for Bigfoot, and I believe in UFOs and whatever. If someone told me, nah, I don't really believe in group mentality, though. I can't even go on a group tour or a cruise ship.
No, but no. I think you could be convinced that there is a machine, especially in today's age. Well, first of all, there probably is a machine like this in 2026.
Yeah, but I don't think I could be convinced of it because I don't really pay attention to really anything other than what I'm working on. which really makes me sound like a narcissist, but it's not. Meaning, like, I research enough for these podcast episodes that I'm like, I don't really know what's happening with the
news.
No,
but even like you've said on this podcast, it's you're the most easy to be indoctrinated because you think you're too good for it. You think you can't be fooled.
True.
Like you say,
that's true.
You've said many times, it's the people who've been scammed before
they don't,
that are more likely to be scammed again because they think,
couldn't happen to me again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're
like, you also want to beat the system. Like you want to be like, I promise I'm not that dumb. But I, you know, you're right. I actually am that dumb and that naive in that way. I'm not dumb at all, but you know what I mean? Like,
you're too smart for your own good.
Yes, but I'm too empathetic for my own good.
You think you understand the cult leader playbook, but that's just the problem. You have a guy like this where he threw it all on its head and it's like, it's not me. I'm not all knowing. I don't have all the answers. It's Jackie.
It's a pretty good ploy.
I think what's so scary about this one for me
is even I.
Well, yeah, it's like
being the smartest.
I am not someone to take another man's word for it, right? But I believe in technology. I mean, I use all these cameras and all this high-tech gear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone could convince me that there's a machine out there, a black box that's, you know, it's ChatGPT 5000. And it's like, oh, it's tapped into all the satellites and it's watching me and it's listening to me and it's got bugs all over and it's, you know, in my brain and it's analyzing me and it is controlling the weather. You know, like,
I'm going to interrupt you real
quick.
Someone
could convince me.
I actually don't think I could be convinced of that. I think I'd get so annoyed and my brain would become mush so quickly. Actually, one of this guy's ex-followers said that hearing him speak or something was like having a razor blade scrape out like the contents of your brain. You just sort of would like leave like, oh.
That's worse than nails on a chalkboard.
That's not an exact direct quote, but it's something similar to that. So,
I mean, that sounds even worse than nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah, like it's like you just were like probably like, oh, okay. Scraping out your brain. That's what I was like listening.
With a spoon.
Don't miss Scarpetta, a propulsive new crime thriller starring Academy Award winner Nicole Kidman, Academy Award winner Jamie Lee Curtis, Emmy winner Bobby Cannavale, with Emmy nominee Simon Baker and Academy Award winner Ariana DeBose. Scarpetta follows Dr. Kay Scarpetta, Nicole Kidman, a brilliant and no-nonsense chief medical examiner, as she investigates a haunting murder that strangely parallels her first major case from decades earlier. Is the case that made her the case that breaks her? Based on the best-selling crime novels by Patricia Cornwell, Scarpetta is both a crime thriller and messy family drama that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Get ready to hunt a serial killer in the satisfying series with terrifying twists and an ending you won't see coming. Watch all episodes of Scarpetta now, only on Prime Video.
So let's go through the patterns of every cult that we've kind of talked about. First, they create a problem. I mean, there's different people. Like Rick Ross might have a different breakdown.
I just can't take that.
I know, the first time I heard it too, I thought the same thing. I was like, huh? I was like, he's really parlayed his career.
Yeah.
Anyways, create a problem, then claim they can solve it. So think about like, the world's going to end at this point. Let's gather together.
That's a pretty
together.
Classic cult problem. The world's going to end, but I got the secret spaceship to get off.
Yeah, there we go. But just in general, create a problem. I'm the only person that can solve it, or me and Jackie, but I'm the only one that's got the live wire to her. Yeah.
Yep.
They claim they can solve it. So in this case, the problem was the world itself. According to Balakrishnan, everything, disasters, politics, global events, were connected to his power. And if followers stayed loyal, they would survive. But if they betrayed him, Jackie would know.
Ooh.
It would always know.
Jackie,
that was so weird that the fire just cracked after I said it would always know.
Yeah, that's my fire, Jackie.
There you go. And that belief gave him something every cult leader wants.
Total control. Mind control.
Oh, that total control was the...
Oh, was I
perfect
spot on?
Perfect guess. Yep, that's what I wrote. Yep.
Hey, you know, I've read the Cult Leader playbook a few times.
Or you've just heard me talk about it several times and had to edit a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Only every week of my life for the past 6 years. Well, I guess we missed a few weeks lately.
Excuse me, sir. Can you take him outside for a second? Inside the group, reality began to blur. Balakrishnan told followers that, number one, he could influence global events. Like we talked about, natural disasters were always connected to his authority.
What about the NBA Finals? I mean, if he
Tyrese
could...
would not have gotten hurt. Shush. Technology and mysticism were merged through Jackie. So technology and mysticism. So we're going like religion-y stuff and tech. Okay. Microsoft meets white witches.
He'd be big in Silicon Valley right now.
But he need to go to like a sound bath yoga studio.
This
and
would
like
be a really good
a Silicon drum circle.
Cult.
It'd be what? Silicon Valley cult?
A really good Silicon Valley. I might start this
up. Oh, yeah,
up.
Because they get bored and they go to... Doesn't matter. I know things. The Redwoods.
Yeah. What's that place called?
Yeah. Bohemian Grove.
Oh, Bohemian Grove, yes.
Yeah. My dad couldn't have thought it was more boring. Anyways, I was like, oh, cool. You guys get out of the city and you hang out in the woods. He's like, I work in the woods for a living. Anywho, so... The last tenet of this is obedience is necessary for survival. And obedience also means being okay, even if you're, well, it would make you not okay with things like sleep deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
Working yourself to the bone with sleep deprivation.
Starvation.
Lack of food. Yes.
Giving up all your worldly possessions.
Mm-hmm. Hand it over. That actually... I might cover them at some point. Bruderhof, some of my family members were my dad's sister and her husband and like five cousins were in something called Bruderhof, which is kind of like an offshoot of the Amish. And I just remember knowing that like when they arrived, the first thing they had to do was give up all their worldly possessions.
Yeah. I always found that very interesting.
Yeah.
The Amish offshoot cult.
Yeah. Bruderhof, we'll get into it at some point. Anyways, so this is when this cult's mythology started evolving. And by this cult, I mean Jackie. Because they rarely, like, they evolve. They're breezy. They can switch points at
Jackie
any point.
Jackie had a software update. Jackie 2.0 is here.
Oh, you're fired from every part of my life. It's really funny.
Hey.
You're like, I'm sorry you got to update your phone right now.
She's got a new firmware.
Yeah.
Hey, my camera heads out there will know about firmware updates. About ready to go to the Blackmagic 8.1 for vertical. Yeah, I'm shooting a vertical feature film in April. Might be made.
I
now.
Really wish when you were trying to date me, you never said those. Or I'm glad you didn't. Sorry, say those words because it would never happen.
Oh, I. That's why I steered clear. Now I'm here, ready to nerd out. You got me all into this.
Okay. Well.
You know what I keep thinking when every time we say Jackie is the maid from the Jetsons.
Was her name Jackie?
I think it was. But you know what I'm talking about. The maid, the robot maid from the Jetsons.
Like, they would move, like...
Yeah. I think her name might have been Jackie. Oh, no. Her name was Rosie. She was a sassy but dependable robot maid model XB500 from You Rent a Maid.
Well, all right.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That's a good fact. Okay. Hey, anyone who actually cares about firmware and any of the other bizarre words that Greg said, please email him at... I'm just joking.
Greg at nocollarfilms.com.
That actually is his email.
I'm hiring. Or you can hire me, either one.
He's a very successful film director. And now he has to just be annoyed by me. So let's just end part one with this. Because this is what makes cults very interesting. Actually, because I keep hearing, when I hear Krishna in this, I'm like, Hare Krishna. The Beatles were into Hare Krishna. They're the ones that would go down in Culver City.
The Beatles?
No. I'm sure they were there.
Well, the Hare point. Krishnas?
The ones, did you ever sit like at a restaurant outside in Culver City in LA? Whatever.
Yeah,
and they
I
would
did.
Ding the bells and
Many
stuff.
Many times. I didn't see any.
Oh, they were always there.
I mean, I like Hare Krishna.
Sorry you didn't take a Second City class, or not Second City, but that's another type of improv class I took there.
It's like
there's a song that the okay.
Yeah, it's like a mantra. Okay, so you're talking about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, commonly known as the Hare Krishnas. I didn't realize. I never saw them in Culver City.
Yeah, they used to like kind of march around and ding bells. I don't know. I had some sort of comedy class. It wasn't Second City, some sort of improv class there.
Yes,
and I would always go to the pizza place like right before for like an hour, and every time I would sit outside, they'd be like dinging bells and like chanting, and I was like, what's happening here? I'm bored of what they're doing.
They're probably talking about Second City being like, yeah, and they're always like, yes, and?
Well, makes us cool. Well, yes, and actually, what a great segue, Rachel, ooh, is how you remain in a cult. Yes, and, sir. Yes, and. Not going to break the scene. All right, so this is going to be a 2-3-parter because this story gets very deep. But we will end on this for tonight. So despite this sounding bizarre now, the group actually attracted educated followers. Some were intellectuals, some were activists, but some were also simply vulnerable, searching for people and for meaning and companionship. And that is how cults often get people. Side note, and we covered this once on when we did the Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses allegedly, whatever, I'm not insulting them necessarily, but would read like the obituaries in the newspaper, etc., and then show up to those people's houses like shortly thereafter because they knew that they were sad and alone.
That is so predatory.
Yeah, it's terrible. Ugh. I mean, you listened to me say that on the episode. Yeah, they...
Well, you're reminding me, and that is predatory.
Terrible. Yeah, it's terrible. Like, you're sad and alone right now. You're going through a vulnerable time. Hey, would you like companionship and friendship?
Meet Jackie.
meet Jackie. Anyways, so, yeah, like, they always seek out vulnerable people. And that's something that people often must misunderstand about cults. Like, there is... I can see wanting to go towards companionship, especially let's say you move to a new city. Let's say you're in your mid-30s. It's hard to make new friends like as an adult. Like it can be easier when you're a kid, even though kids are bullies. But I've heard they're getting nicer.
I think the key is like you don't need new friends when you're an adult.
Yeah.
Well, I mean you do, but like it should be hard to make them.
Yeah, exactly.
If you make an easy friend when you're an adult.
Yeah.
They probably want something from you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
That's just how I feel.
All right. I agree.
I got
with
enough
you.
Friends. And I got Rachel. Jeez. And that's like 5 friends in one.
Whatever. Lucky you. No, but that is the thing about cults. And we'll wrap it up here because you're going to have a banger episode too. But remember, cults don't just recruit the foolish. They know what they're doing. They recruit the searching. And by the late 1970s, the group had evolved from a political commune into a closed cult environment. And that is the end of part one.
I can't wait for part two.
On Jackie.
I can't wait to see what Jackie's made of.
Who knows? All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It truly helps, and we love you, and thank you for being here through all these years. I can't believe it's almost been 6 years. It's been 10 years since I've been podcasting in general. Maybe 11. I don't know. Anyways, have a good night, guys. Bye.